Bandwidth for this podcast is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. This is the iOS Show, episode 247, recorded on March 20th, 2015. Enjoy! All right, it's time for the iOS Show, where we cover all things iOS and beyond. I'm Michael Johnston, and with me, as usual, is Jeff Gamet from the Mac Observer. Hey, Jeff, how you doing?
I'm doing awesome. And hey, it's great to hear you.
It's great to hear you. That's usually how we interact.
Is through pretty much
through our earballs.
Right through our earballs.
Yeah. And Adam Christensen's also here. He's from the MacCast. Hey, Adam, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right.
Cool.
I've had a weird customer support day today, but that's okay.
With Apple?
Not just Apple. I mean, I had Apple and my insurance company, and FedEx hosed me over on picking up a package. And yeah, I've just been on the phone with customer service a lot today, but it's all right.
That's no fun.
No.
Well, okay. Well, let's move on to happy things. Actually, before we do that, I should mention that our show is sponsored this week by Lynda at lynda.com/tios, and we'll talk a bit more about them shortly. But Apple seems like they're getting their stuff together on a streaming service. As it turns out,
kind of looks that way.
We've been talking about this for like years. We've been beating this seemingly dead horse, but maybe the horse is alive. And so it's maybe more cruel to be beating it after all.
Yeah, don't beat a live horse.
I never really thought about that. But beating a dead horse is certainly better than beating a live horse.
Right, because you're not going to hurt a horse that's already dead.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but anyway, back to the horse that seems to be alive. The Wall Street Journal, they say that Apple's in talks with CBS, 21st Century Fox, Walt Disney. So it's going to be about 25 channels. A streaming service, streaming TV service, between $30 and $40 per month.
So live TV and on demand for old shows out of their video libraries.
Okay, so that was my first big question is, so this is going to be, first of all, is it going to be one channel or is it going to be like, I guess it's going to be, it's answered right here, 25 channels. And yes. So you can flip through the channels, however one does that with an Apple TV. And so those are going to be live channels, and whatever you get is what you get at when you cruise those channels, just like traditional TV, correct? Is that the assumption? And then so let's say you missed whatever Disney channel you show you wanted to watch live, all that stuff is immediately archived. So like you missed the show that happened 2 hours ago, you can just pop in there and watch it on demand, or maybe with a little bit more lag, but that's kind of the idea.
That's the idea. So Okay. Yes, if you've missed episodes of Dog with a Blog, you'll be able to get caught up.
Thank God. I've missed, how many seasons of Dog with a Blog are there?
Hopefully all of them.
Yeah. Well, I've missed all of those seasons, so I have a lot of catching up to do.
Is that a real thing?
Yeah.
Yes, it's a real show.
Oh, God.
And yes, it's as bad as you think.
It does sound really bad. Dogs don't even have thumbs. How are they going to hit the space bar? I feel like it's just one single word, right?
Well, and how can a dog speak? I mean, its jaw can't slide forward, so it can't go ee, which means that it can't speak human languages.
Is it a vlog? Dog with a vlog? Because we were assuming that the dog can type, right?
The dog types, and except he also talks, but it's a secret, so only the kids can know.
Okay, but everybody else knows that the dog can type, right? So the only secret is that he can speak. Or the whole thing. Never mind.
We should not drill down too far on
Dog with a Blog. Are we talking? Yeah, we're talking, unfortunately.
We are.
Sorry, I'm so tuned out.
You thought you were in some kind of waking dream.
This is what happens when you have Disney Channel fan children in your life? You learn about shows like
Boy
Dog with a Blog.
Okay, so the one thing. Okay, and let me see. It reportedly deliver a lightweight package anchored by popular networks such as ABC, CBS, ESPN, FX, but will not include smaller channels. Typically included with a cable package. And then the report from Wall Street Journal also says that NBC Universal will not be there due to a falling out between Apple and Comcast.
Comcast.
Because they own NBC.
Yep.
Which I guess it would suck if this was like 2009 and I was still watching 30 Rock. Right? Because what is there anything good on NBC? I guess not. So
I have not had a cable television subscription for so long now that I don't even know. I don't even know what's on network TV.
Okay, so
honestly,
this is kind of interesting. So are we going to see? Is this going to be like Hulu? Or are we going to see ads with the streaming crap, or is it just going to be like?
So.
Yeah, I guess for four. So it's not like, I don't know. So we're getting the streaming stuff. We pop on the boob tube and we just sit and we can veg and let play whatever plays, right? So there's that aspect to it, but then there's also the ad hoc watching, which will definitely be part of this
right.
service. So that's cool. That kind of combines the best of both worlds. I'm certainly more on the ad hoc side, but if you have the streaming as it goes, then you can potentially discover new things to watch, right? So like maybe you pick up on some new TV series halfway through and you're like, whoa, this is really cool. And you can go back and catch up in the whole thing. So,
I don't know. This is a tough call for me because, you know, $40 for another service and then, you know, HBO is going to be $15 a month. And I already pay $8 a month for Netflix. You know, you start adding all this stuff up, and pretty soon you're right back where you started from in your cost.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, okay. So how much does the average cable package cost? Is it like $80 or something?
More?
Oh my goodness. $100.
I think with cable, you're somewhere around $100. It might be as low as $80, depending upon your channel.
I'm talking package, like minus internet.
I'm talking about just the TV.
Yeah, just the TV is like $180 to $100.
Maybe not. I have to go look.
Jeff, do you know?
Someone told me that. I think David Sparks and I were talking about this, and I've been out of cable for so long, I have no clue. And I'm like, well, you know, what is it, like $80 for cable? He's like, no, it's $100. But I think he has premium channels and stuff like that, you know.
Oh, sure.
So I think it depends on the, you know, it depends on the package you get. It can be, you know, as high as $100, $120 just for the TV stuff.
That's crazy.
That is pretty crazy.
I think. But again, I'm going to go look at Cox. I'm going to look right now and see what it would cost me to get cable TV. Just TV. So I'll let you know in a little bit.
Man, I wish it wasn't so hard to figure out.
Continuing that thought, though. So here's what I've been doing is, like, I've been buying Game of Thrones, just the series, and I want to say it was $38 for the season for HD. So that would be 1 month of Apple's, you know, rumored cable package, basically.
Yeah, but okay. You could also
granted,
get.
I'm only getting one show, and I'm not getting 25 channels, right? But how much? What you really have to ask yourself is, on those 25 channels, how many shows are there that you are going to watch?
Yeah, but first of all, you're comparing apples and oranges, right? Because you're talking about you purchased the show.
Right. No, but here's where it gets to apples and apples. So I could buy 12 shows for the same price as Apple's cable subscription package. So
yeah,
$40 per season,
but
for
why
a show,
do you...
or $40 per month for an episode, or for the subscription thing, it really comes down to how much TV are you going to watch and are you
right.
paying for
and
quantity
and what your
or
viewing habits are. Because if you're talking about purchasing Game of Thrones,
right.
you could just buy, what is it, $8? How much is the HBO? $15, right? HBO
$15
now?
$15 a month.
$15. You're watching, let's say you're just watching Game of Thrones.
Right.
You're not getting the best value out of it, maybe you could just get the season pass and the whole thing. So you purchased the whole smear, right? You got all the past seasons.
I bought every season of Game of Thrones. That's how I've been getting it, because I don't have HBO, and you didn't have an on-demand. You didn't have HBO Now yet. Now with the HBO Now coming out, I have to think, should I just spend the $15?
Yeah.
1 month? But see, I don't think you can do it for 1 month, because, you know, they're going to release them as they release them. And I don't know what the deals are when it goes into the back catalog and you have access to that. And also, if you're not buying it outright, you're going to have to pay $15 in perpetuity if you want to watch older seasons. Whereas I own them, I can watch them whenever I want, for as long as I want, for forever.
Yeah, but I mean, there are only so many shows that I think people care to own in that way, that they're actually going to watch more than once.
And that's exactly my point, though, is do you want to pay $40 a month for a bunch of channels that has mostly garbage that you don't want to watch?
Yeah.
Right? Or I have shows that I really like that I do like to watch again. You know, I own all of the X-Files DVDs because X-Files is an awesome show, and we will go back and watch those.
Okay, rabbit hole time. Adam, have you been following the news that they may restart X-Files?
I have not seen that yet. Nope.
I haven't heard that either.
Yeah. So David Duchovny, Gillian Anderson.
They're both on board for this?
Yeah.
Ooh.
They're both on board for this.
Cool. Oh, yeah. Man, that would be so cool. If they got some good writing in there, it'd be so cool with modern effects and everything.
I agree. And so where it stands right now, David Duchovny is and Gillian Anderson are both very excited about the possibility of this coming together.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
And they're both working and doing well. So it's not like they're excited because
they're bored.
They'll get a paycheck.
Yeah.
They're excited because of the potential.
Yeah. Cool.
So here's, I want to get back to my final
Sorry.
Thought on this is, so, you know, I'm excited about Apple doing the streaming service. I'm glad it's finally coming as an option, but I'm trying to resolve that with this idea that my own way of sort of watching and consuming TV has changed so much with how long it's taken them to even get to this point.
Yeah.
That I don't know that it has any appeal for me anymore, because I'm looking at it going, well, I could get sucked back into another $40 a month for a bunch of stuff that I'm not going to watch, or I can continue just doing the solution that I've already done, which is an $8 a month, you know, Netflix plan. I already have Amazon Prime, so I get a bunch of stuff over there. So I have plenty of things to watch if I just want to find, you know, some random thing to watch. And then for the stuff that I really care about and really want to watch, I'm perfectly happy right now to just buy it.
Well, okay.
And own it.
What about
that's what I'm doing, and it's still cheaper.
And it's cheaper
by far than having a cable TV subscription.
Because I'm not buying 12 seasons of shows a year. I'm buying maybe 4 or 5, if that.
Yeah,
I'm not even buying that. It's like,
you've got Netflix too, right?
Yeah, and I've got Netflix.
Yeah. So now what about a situation where, and I know this isn't going to happen, but it'd be cool if you could select which, like maybe you only want 5 of the 25 channels. So you pay like $1.50 per channel or something, or $2 per channel if you want individual. That kind of seems like
channels. I still want them to get to the point where I just build my own.
I want the shows that I want, not the channels.
Right. Well, that's the problem.
But that's, and at this point, I guess the issue is those shows are tied intimately into those networks.
Right. Yeah. Right. No, I mean, so that's why the solution that I'm doing now, it gives me exactly what I want. I want to buy shows. And they're more money than I'd like. I wish they were cheaper, but you know, I'm almost perfectly happy to consume less shows and just get the ones that I want and not pay for a bunch of ones that I don't want. The problem with channels is you're paying for a bunch of content that you don't want. You're subsidizing all the shows that you don't like, basically.
Yeah. So I'm not convinced. When I heard about this, I was thinking, my knee-jerk reaction wasn't, hey, I'm excited to do this, I'm totally on board. It was, well, I'll try it once and see if it sticks, but I'm doubtful. Because
get me wrong, I'm totally excited that it's coming and it's long overdue and it needs to happen and it will bring more competition and it'll make everything better. So I'm all for the positives behind it. You know, I hope it is a huge romping success. I'm just trying to resolve that with, this is something I'd want. Am I going to pay pay for this? You know, am I going to do it like I did with Music Match? Like, I jumped on Music Match and I've been happy with that since I bought it.
But it's, iTunes
that's
Match?
A totally different animal. It's, you know, that's access to the stuff that I own or have bought already.
Music Match is a different thing.
Yeah, it's totally different. But the point is, I was excited about that and I jumped on it. This I'm excited about, but I'm probably not going to buy the service when it launches.
Yeah, yeah. It's because it's Apple's implementation and there may be something to it. But the basic premise of it, who knows?
Well, at least they're getting a deal done. That's the key for me.
I feel like it's too late.
Some movement with some of these networks to finally break that bond with the cable providers. And so I think it's going to be better for cable customers too. I mean, it may turn around and make it so that I buy back into cable. I don't know.
Yeah. Possibly.
You know, if there's enough competition, if this threatens cable, which I hope it does, then that's good for everybody.
Yep. I agree. And, you know, I've been sitting here trying to sort out what I'm going to do. And I think it's come down to I'm not going to pay for Apple service. I'm not going to get HBO Now. I'm going to continue doing what I'm doing. The shows that I want, there are so few of them that it's cheaper for me to do what you're doing, Adam, and just buy them outright off of iTunes.
As much as I don't like Hulu because of the ads, I get that they want to milk these newer shows for all they're worth and throwing ads in there. I kind of feel like if you really want the true modern day experience, it's Netflix and Hulu.
I'm fully going into just becoming a producer. An independent producer and just having people create the shows that I want.
Yeah, but you have to get that through some kind of...
I like that, yeah.
Some kind
and
of...
And Con Man looks fantastic.
I don't even know what that is.
Nathan Fillion and who's the guy that played Wash?
Alan Tudyk.
And Alan Tudyk are doing their own show and they're going to release it on Vimeo and they're Indiegogo funding it.
Hmm.
And the premise of the show is that you have these actors that were on a sci-fi series that was canceled too soon. One played the pilot and the other played the captain. The guy that played the captain has gone on to be really successful. And all the other cast, they're like, they're doing okay. And
they're going around to conventions.
And they're going around to conventions.
Con Man.
This seems oddly familiar.
Yeah.
Does that sound great? And, you know, and I think for $25, You get the show, and they're going to give you the ability to, it sounds like, download it and own it. And
yeah, but what you guys are talking about... The
future.
So, no.
I agree.
We are talking about the future, but I think that the future is... I mean, it's still in flux, and I think certainly the idea of having... you could call it Pandora-like stations, right? So if you pay for Pandora, you could pick up like, hey, I want to get the, you know, this station and that station. You want to listen to it, and that helps you discover things. But once you discover it, you can't. It's not like, oh, I want to listen to that album again. You have to go to something else to find it. You're kind of it's like the snake is eating its tail because the metaphor for stations came from TV, and
right.
And then it went to music, and now it's coming back around to TV, which is kind of insane to me. But I think that the issue that we're talking about, the reason that this is still going to exist, is discovery, right? We're trying to figure out how are we, that the studios are trying to come up with some scheme to put the content in front of consumers and say, hey, do you like this? Dangling the carrot, and then having them go after that carrot in some way. So they have the stations because those are, you know, maybe those are the studios, or that the studios are linked up with the various networks. Ideally, I think finding a show that you really like and maybe purchasing all the seasons, that's one really great thing. Or the Netflix situation where you're like, hey, I just discovered this new show. It's super cool. And you go and you watch it, but there's not a lot of discovery there. I think it's still an interesting situation because the idea of discovery, I think, is at heart of why we haven't settled on something specifically. And that's why we're still why Apple's considering making this kind of service, because if it wasn't for the need to do discovery, I don't think it would be that relevant And I don't know. It'll be interesting. I'm one of those people who just doesn't watch a lot of TV anymore because, one, I'm like crazy busy all the time and I just want to watch something that I know I'll like. So I kind of just rely on friends to tell me to, you know, hey, this is a really cool show. You should check it out. And I go and I check it out on Netflix. And then you've got the Hulu, which you have the new stuff where you can check out the newer episodes, but I don't want to sit in front of a TV and just mindlessly find something that works out for me. So it's always interesting to me how people find out about new shows, especially when they're cord cutters, you know?
Yeah, I find out about new shows because people tell me that, oh my God, you have to watch this.
Yeah.
That's what it comes down to.
Yeah. So, yeah, and it just seems like old style is having a 25 channel thing that you subscribe to and see if you find something that's interesting. Old way of doing things. So we'll see how it works out. Apple may have something, some kind of cool implementation up its sleeves, but at this point it's all speculation. So moving on, speaking of TV, Apple TV, we may be seeing a brand new one at WWDC. According to God, BuzzFeed News.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't read BuzzFeed News. I'm picking this up from Mac Rumors. So they believe that this is a credible source. But I think it's being picked up all around, right? So Mac Observer probably has a story on this as well, I would guess. Oh, is this from, no, not from Wall Street Journal. What's the take at Mac Observer on this idea?
I'm hoping a new Apple TV is coming out because we're due.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not going to hold my breath for it. It's just Apple's interesting the way they're rolling out products right now. It's,
yeah,
yeah.
Considering they dropped the price at the last event, that kind of felt to me like they were kind of signaling, hey, let's clear some of these puppies out.
Yeah, is that?
I don't know if they were doing that or if they wanted to get.
That's the vibe I got.
Or if they were creating another tier.
I don't know. It was the immediate thing that I thought when they announced.
I don't even know if it's another tier.
Just being more competitive.
Yeah. If they want people to buy their streaming service, which means you have to use their hardware, drop the price so that it doesn't seem quite so like so much of a barrier.
Yeah,
you're right. It could be another tier, though. I mean, that would make sense because we'd been hearing about, you know, some of the other features like motion control and
Siri,
and, you know, all those things for so long. I would love to see apps, at least in the form of like games, come to the Apple TV with a Bluetooth, with a Bluetooth controller.
Yeah, that's what the report says. So report says that we're going to be seeing an app store. So let me see here. Blah, blah, blah. Featuring Siri and an app store with an SDK available for developers to create apps, and which, of course, if you're going to do something like that, you want to do it at WWDC.
And they still need the HomeKit hub server thing, too.
Yeah, I think that's allegedly going to be a big part of the Siri push. Yeah,
that's why you would have Siri in there, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it makes sense.
But then
the timing is right. It doesn't seem that outlandish to me, and especially to announce it at WWDC with a new SDK for the new platform. Makes a lot of sense.
It does. The only concern that comes up when I think about Siri coming to another thing, especially an Apple TV, where if we're talking about it controlling HomeKit stuff, know that Hey Siri is going to be an increasing problem. You know what I mean? I know I'm an ass, but so so you've got the watch, right? Your watch is, as soon as you get that thing, it's going to be like you raise it and then you can do the Hey Siri.
They
Sorry
still
again.
Haven't addressed that.
I think
there's going to be like, we need a name. We need to name it now because somebody's going to name the thing. The trick that's like when you're out and about and you see someone lift their Apple Watch up, you like, hey, Sirium. We need a term for that.
We also need to come up with a term that doesn't trigger that feature so we can talk about it and people know what we're talking about without pissing them off.
I totally just Siri'd that dude. Did you see him?
Oh, bro, I just Siri'd someone last night.
It was hilarious.
But I mean, that totally seems like it's going to be an issue. Yeah. So Apple got around it by only allowing the iPhone trick to work when it's plugged in. And that, I think, certainly mitigated 90% of the problems with it, because when you're out and about, you're at meetings, right, you're at school, et cetera, you're not going to have that issue. But you're going to have the Apple TV plugged in. It's probably going to have, or maybe it's going to be like, hey, Apple TV. Something like that. I don't know. It's going to be interesting, especially when, so if let's say my phone's plugged in across the room, but I want to address my watch. What happens when I raise up my wrist and say the phrase, and are they both going to go off, and are they going to negotiate the understanding? Maybe it's going to be a linked, maybe it's going to be a shared consciousness of Siri, right? So maybe you know what I mean?
I don't know. You know, what happens when you're in it with a group of people out and about and everybody's got an Apple Watch on? There's lots of questions, you know.
Well, you're definitely going to have
some
Siri.
We're going to use the Star Trek etiquette where only one person is allowed to talk to the computer at a time.
Yeah. Computers in the 24th century were weird.
I hadn't thought about that as Star Trek etiquette, but you're right.
Right. You got a big room of people. They're all working on, you know, computers, but really only one person's allowed to talk to it.
Yeah, because it comes over a giant, like, speakerphone. Like, oh, I guess Deanna is using it now. I guess we can't work on this problem here.
Oh my God. You're totally right. I had never thought of that before.
We're nerds.
No, I mean, really, I think the answer to that is, you know, you issue a command and it's off. It's multi-threaded, right?
It's
off working on Picard's thing while then someone else.
Well, then it's going to have to distinguish between the voices.
Only one person can give it a command at a time, though, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although that would be kind of cool if it was intelligent enough to be able to pick out multiple voices
like
simultaneously.
Yeah.
And process their commands.
But would you really want to be in that room? Like I said, there's going to have to be this like weird Siri, you know, using Siri voice command etiquette.
Actually, I would totally be fine with it doing that, because when I'm with my family, it seems anytime that I open my mouth to start talking, that's when everyone else is going to decide to talk. So I need Siri to be able to differentiate the voices so that I can tell the television what to do. Otherwise, I'll just stop watching television completely.
Yep. No, I mean, I've already had this problem sometimes when I'm in the car, you know, if there's noise, extraneous noise, or someone else is talking and you're trying to interact with the Siri voice interface, it just doesn't work.
Yeah, it gets a little bit dumb. Although it works pretty well for me. It's just a matter of turning down the radio, saying he's blah, 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 and doing the thing. But for what it's worth, and I just want to throw this tip out there for people who just haven't really experimented too much with it. She's really harped on the whole, just say the phrase and continue speaking. Don't wait for me to respond, because that's the way it works. And if you trust in that process, as long as she catches the initial phrase, then it works out like magic.
Yeah, that just clicked with me recently. Because I was having a lot of trouble. I had never had trouble before issuing the, you know, the listen to me command and then pausing and then speaking.
Yeah.
But recently I was having a lot of trouble with that. And then I realized if you just do it as one continuous command, then it works all the time.
It does. Yeah. You it's know? Nice. So let's see. Yeah. So I guess we're just going to have to see if it, I guess the big question on the Apple TV, this new Apple TV, if it does come out, and it comes with an app store and Siri and all that, are we going to be able to run any or all of that new stuff on our current third gens or even the second gens? Maybe not the second gens, but
my guess is second gen is out. But for third gen, there will probably be some features that work. like maybe you'll be able to do the streaming television stuff,
yep.
But gaming doesn't work.
You gotta think that the streaming TV stuff is going to work on at least the second or the third gen.
Oh yeah.
You gotta think if they're going to put Siri on there, are they going to do it like Amazon, where they have a mic in the remote, or is it going to be part of the watch? Is it going to be a speaker on the box? Who knows? And then, so if it's something that goes through some new hardware, yeah, I guess that complicates things for that. As far as the App Store, I feel like there's maybe going to be, I think it'll be more like the original iPhone, right? The original iPhone got the App Store and you could do a lot of things, but there are requirements for certain apps. It says it only works on the Apple TV Gen 4 or later kind of thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, I want the microphone to be built into the Apple TV.
Yeah, that would be nice. So it's more Star Trek than...
So it's more Star Trek-like. And then that way, I can walk into the room and
just shout at your television.
And shout at my television and tell Siri to turn the lights down or turn the lights up or change the temperature in the room.
Yeah, I got to pull up that 30 Rock clip.
I just want it, as long as it looks like Martin Hajek's comps that he did a while back for that Apple TV. I was trying to find them.
Oh, those are the ones gorgeous. Where it's like metal with the plastic bands through it, sort of like the iPhone 6?
It was all metal. I mean, it's an all metal with a chamfered edge case and a metal touchscreen remote. They were gorgeous. And they were, you could get them in silver, space gray, and gold.
These are the remotes?
No, the Apple TV itself. They're gorgeous.
Hmm.
He did Apple TV concepts. I was trying to find them on his blog, but I can only find them on Google Images.
Goggle. Hmm. Okay, let's see.
Oh, here's the post. I'll give it to you, and you can maybe post it in the show notes later.
Well, here, I'll just take a look so I can see what we're looking at. I'm sure I've seen this before. Oh, wow. Yeah, those look nice. Oh, and then, so are these, those are the remotes. They're not iPhones. Yeah. Yeah, I've seen this, totally. Yeah, that would be quite nice, although I don't see it happening.
Well, I think they could do the Apple TV casing like that.
Oh, yeah. Why not? Gold and space gray.
I don't
gray.
Think they're going to have touchscreen remotes, but...
That'd be fun. Yeah. Let me close all this crap. All right. So we've got more stuff to talk about. We're going to talk about Nintendo and the bomb that they dropped. But before we do that, we're going to talk about our sponsor this week, which is Linda... at lynda.com/tios. And you know what? They have copy that they sent over for me to read. But I'm going to get real with you guys right now about Linda. Because
do tell.
Because Linda is, it's like, it's been around for, it seems like forever. It's been so long. And they have so much great stuff. So if you don't know, they're there to teach you stuff. Originally, they started off with like Photoshop tutorials and some programming and web development and that sort of stuff. But they have grown so much over the years. And all the stuff, so they're video tutorials. So all of the stuff is very interactive. In fact, one of the things that I did because of Linda was I got another screen. So I could have Linda on one screen and I could work on my project as I'm doing it. Because, I mean, you get a lot of mileage out of this stuff. As I said before, I learned how to do everything that was necessary for Appler exclusively from Linda, which is really powerful, I think. So they have got the stuff that I used was HTML Essential Training, which includes CSS and some basic JavaScript. You've got your JavaScript Essential Training, which is really cool. They go over basic JavaScript, Ajax, jQuery stuff. jQuery is really awesome. So, I mean, check that out. PHP with MySQL Essential Training. And so they have all the web development stuff in there. They also have programming, real programming in there. So they have Objective-C. So if you want to get in there into learning how to develop iOS apps or Mac apps, they've got you covered. Simon Allegard or something like that. I can't remember his last name. He's awesome. He's the one who does all the Objective-C and programming stuff. He's great. And all this stuff it's broken down into individual chunks. So I don't think I've seen many videos that are more than like 8 to 10 minutes long. And so you've got discrete skills that you learn as you go through this stuff. One thing that wasn't there when I was first going through it is they have transcripts for pretty much all of this stuff. And it's not just transcript, it's interactive. So as we talked about before, you can search for specific things and find the exact chunk. You can click on the word and it'll jump you to the exact spot in the video. And that's really cool because when you get a subscription to Lynda, you have access to the entire site. You're not signing up for a specific category. You're not signing up for a specific program. It's everything. And so you can go like nuts with this thing. And so you get a free 10-day trial when you go to lynda.com/TIOSS, TIOS for the iOS show. And I encourage you to, even before you do that, just go there and check out all the categories they have, because they have like 3D and animation, audio and music, business, CAD, design, development, education and e-learning, IT, marketing, photography, video, web, so much stuff. And then you can even break it down by individual software packages. So you're like, okay, I really need to learn Photoshop, or I really want to learn finally how to do WordPress. You can just go and click on the WordPress, and it shows you all the different programs they have for WordPress. They even break it down by WordPress version, what your skill level is, what subjects. So if it's like, you know, marketing, photography, that's cool right there that they even have that. So it's less technical. They also have web and developer design, all this stuff. I mean, it's a massive, massive resource. And 10 days, you could squeeze in a lot of stuff into 10 days. And I'd recommend going and figuring out what you want to start learning through and figure out what you want to try and get through in 10 days. But I would imagine that after the 10 days, you'll probably find some other courses as you're cruising around that you want to also check out. So, but you know, it's free, 10-day trial. Check them out, lynda.com/TIOSS. And, if you find something cool, if you learned something from Lynda, send a tweet to me and to Lynda, and let us know what you learned on Lynda, because I believe wholeheartedly in Lynda, regardless of them being a sponsor. They're awesome. So check them out, lynda.com/TIOS. And with that, we're talking about Nintendo, because finally they've given up on being dumb. Supposedly.
Nope.
What?
Nope.
Oh man. It seemed like they've given up on being dumb. So according to the Wall Street Journal, they say that they have partnered with mobile game maker DNA, mm-hmm. right? To make, it seems like, to like bring Mario and Zelda, Pokemon, and all that fun stuff.
Well, they licensed the characters.
They licensed,
right?
The characters.
Oh, are you kidding me? Is this going to be dumb?
Yeah. So, okay. So DNA, what they're going to do is take Nintendo characters and put them into games. And if you look at what DNA has done, they have a shedload of games on the App Store. And so they can take games they already have and drop different characters in, or come up with new games with Nintendo characters. and that's great. But existing properties, the Zelda stuff you want to see, the Super Mario Kart you want to see, no, not going to happen. They've made it very clear that's not going to happen.
Damn it.
Yep.
And then take a look at the games DNA makes. They are the masters of in-game payment.
Ugh.
Yeah. That is their business model, and that's what all of their games do. And the system that they've created, it is actually pretty clever, even though I think it's kind of sleazy. for a lot of the in-game purchases that you make, instead of being buy once and you've got it, or buy once and it's refreshed whatever it is that you need, a lot of them are sort of like pay and you get one of these things. So there's one thing you need and you may or may not get it, but you're going to get something. So now there's kind of this almost like a gambling sense to it, even though it's not really gambling. And apparently that works really well because people just keep dropping money into the games this company makes. So what I'm expecting, and I'm hoping I'm wrong, is that as all of these Nintendo titles roll out from DNA, they'll be just the same games the company's been making, and they will just be heavily loaded with in-game purchases you need to make to be able to continue playing or finish the game.
Sounds absolutely awful.
Yeah, it sounds absolutely awful. And I might be completely off base, but I don't think so. I mean, this is what DNA does. Why would Nintendo partner with them if that isn't what Nintendo wanted?
Why wouldn't Nintendo partner with anybody?
Yeah.
I know. They have the talent to make...
Go ahead. You're going to say exactly what I thought.
Yeah, well, they've got the talent to make the apps. Why should they hire someone else to make them instead?
Yeah.
Or they could buy up the what was that emulator that was released as a game? It was like Flappy Flower or something like that that came out in December, and it was a Nintendo emulator.
I don't remember
for the iPhone, and it worked beautifully. Why don't they just buy that? And then call it good. And now they can just take all the games they already have and let you play them directly right on your iPhone. Flappy Cloud, I think that's what it was. But no, we're going to get micropayment games out the wazoo with Nintendo characters in them. So we're not getting Nintendo games.
Lame.
Yeah. But anyhow, we interrupted you, Michael. What were you saying?
I don't remember.
Yeah. Yeah. It would be awesome if they would just, you know, bring the Nintendo titles to iOS. But
and we know they can work because you can get apps, emulators, if you jailbreak, mm-hmm. that work great. There was Flappy Cloud, which worked great. So it's totally, totally possible. But Nintendo just doesn't get it.
Yeah, it seems like they don't. Well, that's nice. So I guess I'll just play my Nintendo 64 and forget about it later on.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, and I'll just keep playing with my Wii. And I don't even have a Wii U. I must be a real hardcore gamer.
Yeah, and so for what
I haven't heard good things about the Wii U, so I didn't rush out to update.
Do you guys hear about the they call it the EverDrive? These are really cool. So you know how you can get ROMs for of games, of old Nintendo games,
right?
You can get these things called EverDrives that you just throw an SD card. So they're cartridges for the games, but they just have an SD card slot. So you can load up like a buttload of N64 games on a new SD card, throw them into this thing, and you've got them all on.
That's really cool.
It is really cool. So.
If you could get ROMs legally.
Yeah. I mean, you got to get ROMs somehow.
Legally.
Yeah. I don't know how that works. I guess you have to rip your ROMs.
Yep.
Rip your doodads, your cartridges. So, but yeah, that's,
don't pirate software, kids.
Thanks, Nintendo. Thanks for being giant butts.
Yeah.
The good news is I think their stock price went up when they made the announcement though, right?
Oh, thank goodness.
Got a little reprieve in the downward spiral.
That sure helps
so
me play, Nintendo games on my iPhone. Oh, wait, no, it doesn't.
Yeah, well, see, that's the thing, is it's not going to last, because a lot of people think the same thing that you're thinking, is that they're finally bringing titles to Android and iOS, and when people realize that's not what's happening, it's not going to help them.
Yeah, good for them.
Yeah. It amazes me how hard Nintendo works to
not do the right thing.
To not make money.
Yeah, to not make money.
It's real hard. They're really good at it, though. Okay, so let's talk about Apple Watch, because I have just been like counting the minutes to this thing for some reason, and it's really bad because
you're gonna have a lot of minutes to count.
I know there are a lot of minutes still. Holy cow!
A lot of minutes.
There are still so many minutes because it's what, the 24th that it's coming out, right?
Right, yeah, 24th of April.
It's still
of
like,
April. Oh,
yeah, I know. Trust me, I know. I'm counting
those
minutes.
More than a month away.
More than a month away. So we've
you don't
got,
even get to try it on for a couple of weeks. And then they're going to take it away. They're going to like put it on your wrist.
No, don't take it from me.
Yeah. And then they're going to pull it up, rip it off.
So we've got 21 days
and then laugh at you.
And some change until the try-on period.
It's so beautiful.
No!
So, yeah, someone should film it. Film my experience and me like weeping afterwards.
You're going to walk into Apple stores all over the country. There's going to be all these people in the front door in fetal positions. Why can't I give it now?
Yeah. So, yeah, and speaking of which, it seems as though, according to 9to5 Mac, the retail employees are getting their training on it. So they're getting that sort of experience early, right? Because they're not going to be able to take it home. They get to play with it at work, but then...
Well, and it gets worse for retail employees because a lot of times if it's a product that has limited availability...
They have to wait, right?
They don't let the employees buy them.
Oh, it's so mean. Yeah. So mean. But they get to caress them during the day, like 2 weeks ahead of time, right? So they get to play with these things before everybody else does. Yeah. And for what it's worth, I went into my local Apple store and I checked out the new 13-inch MacBook Pro with that Force Touch trackpad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Holy cow, that is cool.
It's weird.
It's so weird because it's like, it feels like you're pressing a standard trackpad. I cannot distinguish between a real click and this fake,
you know,
click thing.
Here's the thing. So I got down really like close on that thing.
And it moves?
I think it moves just a hair. I mean, we're talking about maybe a millimeter. There is some movement. And okay, I don't know if it's just flexing of the metal or the plastic.
But dude, if you turn it off, I turned it off. And I went and I pressed, and it just felt like a piece of like glass that I was pressing.
Did it? Okay, I have to try that. I didn't even think about that.
I turned it off as soon, like, oh, holy cow, it's clicking. And then I turned it off, and it's like.
So it still clicks, though, like with that feature off, right? You just don't get the taptic feedback. Is that right?
I do not know. No, I'm saying I turned the computer off.
Oh, I think you can go in and turn off the taptic feedback, too. I thought I saw in the settings, and I didn't even think about doing that.
Well, what I was. So the tangent that I went off on was. We're thinking we're going to get Force Touch on the next-gen iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
Are we going to get the taptic engine in that thing, too? Are we going to get, like...
Yeah, why not?
Taptic feedback?
That would be kind of cool.
Like, so we're like... Because it feels like something's happening. So maybe...
Well, that's how they're saying Apple might handle with, like, iPads and iPhones getting a more tactile keyboard feel.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly what I'm thinking. That would be really cool. If they can make it feel that real, and it seems like they've done some really interesting black magic with that taptic engine, so it would be neat. But so as far as training material that they have been given, it's going to be a 15-minute appointment for the try-on. And so they'll have all the Apple Watches. It seems like you can't just go up and fiddle with one. And I doubt that they'll ever have it where you can just go up and fiddle with one. And I would imagine it's because they don't.
No, but I saw somewhere that there may be some sort of mechanism, or they may be looking at a way to handle walk-in try-ons as well.
Yeah, I've heard that too.
You mean for someone they walk in and they say, hey, I want to try one on, and then an employee who's free will do it? Or
well, right. Except there won't be one of those, so it'll be more like, you see that giant line over there?
Oh, I gotcha.
Just go stand in it.
Or it would probably be more like, well, we can set you an appointment for next Thursday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're like, it's Tuesday. And they're like, yeah, we know.
You're like, yep.
I don't know. Yeah, apparently they're going to have some slots for walk-ins. My guess is they will fill up, though, you know, so probably. I don't know how many they're... What's interesting is, like, how many are they going to be able to process? Like, how long are they going to let you try it on? Do you get 60 seconds? Are they going to be timed?
15 minutes.
15... Oh, you said 15 minutes. They're 15 minutes.
Yeah, 15-minute slots. Yeah. So you can sit there and...
That just doesn't seem like a lot of people getting through in a day, does it?
No, but it's probably not going to be a situation where everybody takes 15 minutes, right? Because how much are you going to possibly
do? That's what I mean. So
let's say you have 10 employees assigned to Apple Watches.
Right, okay.
And each of them is doing 15-minute slots.
And how long is an Apple Store open?
Are we going to do some math right now?
We're going to do some math. So each person can do... So each employee can do 4 an hour. So that's 40 an hour. Right? Wait, how many employees did I say?
4
an hour. So it's 40 an hour. And if you assume, a store opens at 10 and closes at 9.
Mm-hmm.
So that's 11 hours.
Let's just get to the punchline, which is a buttload of time. So it seems like it'll probably work.
So that's 440 people, right? Is this 11 hours?
Sure.
Yeah, 11 hours.
So 440 people per store per day. That doesn't seem like very much to me.
That doesn't seem like very many either.
It's not going to be, but that's not the point. It's you get the appointment, and you're one of the chosen.
Well, I'm saying is, this is going to be like, when they open up the appointment system, it's going to be people waiting up at midnight to get on the appointment system, what I'm saying.
Well, those people are going to be waiting up till midnight to purchase the dang thing already, so who cares?
Right. But,
yeah. I mean, we're at the point now.
I care because I'm going to have to be that slob who's up on the 20th. When did they start taking the appointments? On the 10th?
Yeah, so they're
pre-orders and appointments on the 10th. Yep.
So on April 9th at midnight, I'm going to be sitting in front of my freaking computer.
Yeah.
So refreshing the...
Refresh,
the,
yeah.
The Genius Bar Apple Store page, waiting for the reservation system to come online so that I can get an appointment.
Right.
Yeah, great.
And for me, it'll be 1 in the morning because they do it all Pacific time.
Yeah. Right. That's why you should move out here, Jeff.
I really like where I live.
Yeah.
Why didn't you come move here?
No, I like where I live too.
Yeah. I don't suspect them getting good press about this whole try-on thing.
Whatever.
Yeah, I'm curious to see how the media responds to the reservations and try-ons.
They're just going to be overwhelmed.
Who cares? Who cares what the media says about it?
No, I don't care about the media. It's just going to, you know, the Apple Store is already always a zoo.
Between
the 10th and through the month of release of the Apple Watch.
All buzz,
oh my
baby.
God.
All buzz.
Yeah, it's going to be crazy.
Yeah, it's going to be crazy. Maybe it won't be. Maybe nobody gives a crap.
Yeah, no one cares.
Nobody cares
about the Apple Watch. It's only dominated mainstream media since Apple announced the dang thing.
Even before Apple announced it.
Right.
Yeah. So how about these band adapters? I'm kind of interested in getting one or two of these things. The only issue is I don't have any third party bands, so I'd have to get one of these adapters, and then I have to find some like old garbage bands on eBay or something. You know what I mean?
No. Like, I mean, the adapters are taking standard watch bands, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So you get the little, what do you call that mechanism?
It's just that little stupid spring thing that every watch has had for forever.
Yeah, that thing.
The little pin. You take the pin out, you slide the strap on, you put the pin back in.
Yeah. So if you get the Kickstarter for the click, and then there's the Indiegogo for the adapt.
Yeah.
The adapt looks real nice, but it is only 13% of the way to their
goal. On Thingiverse and 3D print your own.
Yeah, but that's not going to look good. You want something that's metal.
How do you know?
You want some metal.
No, it won't look good.
Well, you will be able to do a metalized paint coat on it.
Okay, so first of all, I don't have a 3D printer, so that's kind of done. It's
no, I'm just saying. I'm just using that as an example. I don't even know if it exists, but I'm pretty sure it will exist.
Yeah.
I mean, there's going to be so many solutions for this. There's going to be so many third-party bands for this. Why even mess with an adapter when you'll be able to get a nice-looking $20
leather
band
you're
that
right.
just works?
Yeah. The only reason I can see to get these little adapters is if you have a band
that you already
just
like.
Love so much. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I'll give you that. Good advice.
You don't have one. Just get a new Apple Watch one, because this is going to be the Apple brand case of the next generation.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally. I didn't even
think
about
it. We were talking
about
on Apple Show or the Mac Show today. You know, you're going to go to the iLounge thing at CES next year, and it's just going to be a whole giant section for watch bands.
That's insane.
Yep.
Yeah, but you're totally right. Absolutely. Okay. Airlines are getting on board with the Apple Watch. Of course, you got American Airlines. They're working on one. Now, British Airways is talking about theirs, that they're going to have the little glance thing that'll tell you about, you know, how much time is left until you're boarding and your gate and this and that. You got Delta, you got United. Southwest and Virgin haven't said that they're working on one yet. But man, it just seems like JetBlue. Yeah.
Yep, they're on the list.
It just seems like more...
Oh, Emirates.
Yeah?
They're on the list. Go check out the list I put together today, because I have those on there too.
Yeah, send me a link and I'll throw it in the show notes.
Okay.
This is like... It's not groundbreaking, but it kind of is, because it's going to be on a watch. And if you're especially... I mean, running through an airport is one of the great use cases, I think, for the Apple Watch, because you just don't want to have to fool with pulling something out of your pocket if you're running to a connection or something like that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Being able to just like, it's one of those situations where you check the time often, you look for updates often, you look for a lot of different information. If you can just look at your watch and pull up the glances, I think that's going to be a really handy thing. Plus you get your boarding pass on there, of course, because you're already going to have your passbook on the watch, but having the extra apps, I think that's going to be killer.
I think it's going to be cool too.
Yeah. And then there was Good Morning America. I guess they got in to check out the lab where they're doing the
secret lab.
Shh. Where they're doing all the health kit stuff. And so Apple has this giant lab of people with they're all instrumented up working out. And I guess they're all Apple employees, right? So this is like the weird Apple gym that they have. So you can go in there and put on equipment and work out. And it seems to me, and then they've only done a 2.5 minute clip of this thing. So it's going to be on Nightline or something like that, whatever it's called. Evening. Yeah, Nightline. And so they're gonna have the full segment on Nightline tonight. But I guess the point is they've centered people up and they're trying to find the correlation. It seems like a lot of this is to
figure
out.
It's kind of funny. I just have to say, you said they censored people up, and I'm sitting there trying to figure out what were they trying to keep them from saying? And then I realized what you really meant.
Yeah. They're putting S sensors, not C sensors, on people.
Someone's running around gluing big black bars over everybody.
Everybody's naked as they come in. They can't figure out why everybody's naked. They've got to censor them. And so it seems like they're trying to figure out what correlation there is to actual exercise, how many calories you're burning and that sort of thing, what the correlation is between that, which is more readily measured by breathing sensors and that sort of thing, versus heart rate and movement and that sort of thing. So it seems like they've had 2 years with this lab. And so it's part health kit stuff, part improvement of the watch information gathering, it seems. But that may just be the big old spin that they have on this, because it's the guy who was primarily in this clip, the Apple guy, is the one who was talking about research kit. And I think he's in charge of Jeff Williams, right?
Yes.
Senior Vice President of Operations, but he was the one who was working on health. And then there was that exercise fitness guy that they had in one of the promo videos for the Apple Watch. So all health stuff. I'm sure it's all coming together in many different ways at that lab. So it's kind of neat. So that video is in the show notes, and it'll be on Nightline and whatever. You'll be able to check it out. Apple removed, they've been removing virus stuff, antivirus stuff from the App Store. And so Virus Barrier has been on there. This is Intego. They were also removed recently. And I guess the whole point of them removing these antivirus apps is because they were only there to check like incoming files and emails and that sort of thing, right? It wasn't to scan your phone for a virus. Because apps don't have that ability unless you're jailbreaking. Yeah,
they can't do system-wide stuff.
How would that even work? Would it be that you'd have to like open in Virus Barrier?
I would imagine so. iOS? I never got it. You can't get it now. But the point is they wanted to remove these things because it's super misleading to customers. Like, oh yeah, I've got virus software on my antivirus on my iPhone, so I'm secure. Like, no, you're not doing anything with that. So yeah, and it, it almost seems
depending
like,
upon how it worked and how they were advertising, I don't know. I mean, I get why Apple wants to do this, right? Because it implies that the iPhone is somehow susceptible to viruses. And you know, it gives this impression that they don't want. But, I mean, depending upon how this software worked, I know plenty of people who run antivirus on their Macs for this exact reason. Not that they're worried that the Mac's going to get infected, but they want to find files that may be transitioning through their system.
Sure. Yeah.
So if you get a lot of attachments in your email and files from colleagues and stuff like that, you want to make sure you're not passing along or spreading along a file that maybe came to you with a Windows virus or some sort of infection on it.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's kind of interesting that it's only happened now because Virus Barrier has been on the App Store for 4.5 years.
Okay. So, yeah. So here's the thing. So because of the sandboxing, I'm looking at Intego's description of the software. So you do have to tap on the attachment, you know, hold down till you get the share sheet, do the open in Virus Barrier whole round trip thing.
Yeah.
So I don't even know why you'd want to use that app. Seems I guess like if you're really concerned about it, though, my thing is, if you're really concerned about this, if like you are worried about, you know, files coming into your email that have viruses and you want to check them on your Mac or on your iOS device and this app will let you do it, why not let someone buy this thing?
I don't know. And again, like I was saying, it's been there for 4.5 years. Why now?
Maybe because of the recent sort of bad press about
Macs getting viruses.
Yeah. Or just even Apple products getting viruses.
Yeah. Yeah. I can see that.
I don't agree with it, though. I guess is what I'm saying. You know, it's sort of like I'm all for it if these were misleading. Like if it was saying, if you had an app that said, hey, we can scan your iPhone for viruses, then yeah, by all means, pull that. But they should be continuing to take their sort of one-off approach of vetting these things. I mean, if it does the thing that it says it does, and it's not malicious or taking people's money, then I don't see why it shouldn't be allowed.
Yeah, I agree. So my guess is that there's some critical piece of information we're missing, information that Apple's not sharing. And so that's leading me to believe that there's something about these apps that is misleading. We just don't know what it is.
I don't know. I'm looking through Intego's thing, and it's pretty clear exactly what it does. It lets you scan attachments from your email or other files that you've downloaded through their software. That's it.
There's something missing.
And they even say, even though iOS devices are locked down to prevent viruses from infecting your iPhone, iPad, email and cloud devices are still at risk, which is true. I don't know. What I'm worried about is this is a case where there are a number of apps that claimed that they could scan your phone, and to shut them down, Apple just made a blanket policy that said, okay, anything that claims to be an antivirus, we're just going to block unilaterally. And it'll be interesting.
That would be very Apple-esque.
Yeah. And it'll be very interesting to see if there's appeals from individual companies that are sort of doing what, like, Intego is a reputable and well-known company in this space. And it'll be interesting to see if they're able to lobby and get this reinstated in working with Apple. And if Apple will sort of make exceptions and sort of adjust the rules, which they've done in the past for other things. I mean, we just saw, what was the launcher app come back that lets you launch apps from the today?
Launchpad?
Yeah.
From the Today view.
Yeah. So they were obviously able to work out whatever issues they were having. So this isn't anything new, I guess. And my guess is that what you're saying, Jeff, is right. There's something came to their attention and they just wanted to shut this down quickly. Whatever problem they were having, this was probably the quickest way to go after it. And there was probably some collateral damage with some, I think, some products that probably shouldn't be removed. And they'll probably appeal and it'll probably become this sort of one-off thing where there's going to be some exceptions to the blanket rule. Or at least I hope.
I think so. Which is good that Apple will make the exceptions. It's bad that they have a system that is so kludgy,
yeah,
that they do these blanket statement things.
But it's always been like that, like you said. I mean, this is a story we've reported on since they started allowing apps on the iPhone. This has been a problem from the beginning, and they've never fixed it because of how the rules are. The rules are generally broad, and even developers don't know. So, interesting nonetheless. I was curious related to this because I didn't grab the show notes. Are we going to talk about the brute force hacking too?
No, tell me about it.
Well, Jeff wrote a nice piece on it because I had seen this pop up earlier, and I've always used a 4-pin passcode on my iPhone. And
but
now, Jeff,
anymore.
I'm wondering, yeah, should I probably be changing it, right?
Yeah, even if you change it to a 5-digit passcode, that's still going to be far more secure than what we have today.
Well, and it's one of those things I've just been lazy about it. I mean, with Touch ID, I probably don't even need to worry about it too much.
Right.
Although, even with Touch ID, I tend to have to enter my passcode a little more frequently than I would have thought, but that's okay. So you want to do the story?
Yeah, what is it?
Okay, so the deal is that there are these boxes that you can buy now that you have to crack open the iPhone, and then you hook into the guts of the iPhone, and then it just starts running 4-digit passcodes. And every time it gets a fail, it immediately kills the power to the phone before the phone can write to its own memory that a failed login attempt was made.
Oh, wow.
So if you have your iPhone set like I do, 10 attempts, and then it bricks the phone, that won't happen. It can continue to just go through and try passcodes until it finds yours. And then it unlocks your phone and it shows what that passcode is. So now whoever took your phone has it. And if it's a bad guy, well, great. Now they have the code that they need so that they can factory reset your iPhone and sell it to someone else. If you're the government or the military, whatever, you can now very easily unlock someone's iPhone and go through the contents, presumably with a warrant.
Yeah, presumably. But okay, so just one step back here. You said that they could then disable the activation lock and sell it, right?
Right.
Because
you need your access code to do that.
No, you need your passcode. You need your actual password for the, I think that's incorrect. You need the password.
iCloud password. Yes, you do.
In order to do that.
Oh, that's right.
And I'm certain of that because I remember when my girlfriend had to get a replacement phone and she wasn't with me because she had to find a parking spot. And they were like, okay, disable, find my iPhone. And I knew her phone password, but I didn't know her iCloud password, so it wouldn't work. So I'm pretty certain of that. But still... Yeah.
It's still, they can get into your device, and once they're in your device, there's lots of things that they can access and do.
That's true. So anyhow, these are boxes that you can go buy today.
Wow. Is that,
and they're like, what, 200, yeah, 250 bucks?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
I want one. Not to do anything like nefarious, just seems neat that you can like pull open a phone and like plug this like jack into your.
Go look at the picture.
Send me a link. Did you send the link?
The Mac
here?
Observer. It's really interesting. It's got a little. It's got a little four-digit LED like counter that shows the. You know, shows it. Looks like it shows it running through the four-digit passcodes.
Dude, that's oh. Is this something? Oh, this is you didn't. TMO didn't get this box, right? This is some other picture from someone else.
No, MDSEC. They bought the box.
Wow, that's so like. Oddly Hollywood looking.
Yep.
But that
it's totally like you'd see that in Q's lab.
Yeah, some guy cracking a safe with a laptop or something. Wow.
Yeah. So needless cool. to say, if you're concerned about it, you probably want to just change. I mean, the easiest way to defeat this is, you know, change to a non 4-digit PIN. Just do a password. And it becomes because you know, as Jeff I think points out in the piece, you could still adapt the machine to do like, you know, like a waterfall check or some other brute force check, but it's going to take way, way, way longer.
You mean like doing a multi-character kind of thing?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, because it doesn't do the whole. I guess the big
but
deal
you could
with
do a
this
dictionary
is
it, brute force. You could adapt it to do a dictionary brute force hack, I'm sure, pretty easily. The thing is it's going to take. Because there's so many more combinations, every number you add infinitely increases the amount of time that, well, not infinitely, but I mean significantly increases the amount of time. Yeah.
Well, this, I mean,
because it can do the four digits, Jeff, you said in what was it like 11 hours?
111 hours.
111 hours.
That's a while.
Well, that's because you have to wait for the iPhone to reboot.
Power cycle. Yeah.
Oh. Interesting. But very cool.
But I mean, that's still that. I mean, that's doable if you really wanted to get into a phone.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's about 5 days. This so is in like less than a week, you could crack it.
This is the first time I've ever been on the good side of these security things because I used to be one of those guys who didn't lock the phone at all. I have a complex password now to get into my phone because I have Touch ID and it's not usually an issue.
Yeah, I'm going to be changing mine now. So that's why I wanted to make sure we covered this story because I think it's important enough.
Well, you know that law enforcement has probably had something like this for much longer than these guys. Well, maybe not so much.
Well, they do now.
They certainly have it now, regardless of when they got it. Yeah. And not just if you have a single character passcode, like I was talking about before, like the letter O or something, then you may want to increase it. And it's going to dissuade the casual grab and steal kind of person, but it's so unfortunate that you can't change the passcode from Find My iPhone anymore. You used to be able to do that regardless of if you had a passcode or not. You used to say, here's a new passcode I want to assign to my phone and do that remotely, but it just doesn't work like that anymore. So whatever passcode, if you either have no passcode and you can set it remotely, or you have a passcode and you just send a signal to lock it and that's it. Which is kind of strange. I don't know why they removed that ability. But there it is. I'm throwing it in the show notes so you guys can check that out as well. So we're going to do our picks. Adam, you want to go first?
Hold on, I'm setting my passcode.
Okay, Jeff, you go.
All right. My pick is Omni Outliner for the iPhone.
All right.
Oh, yes. So I've been a hardcore Omni Outliner fan for a really long time. Started on the Mac, and I actually used Omni Outliner to write my book.
Wow!
All those years ago, yeah, and it was fantastic for that. And then when it was available for the iPad, I just immediately bought it. And one of the things that I've asked Ken for several years. Is Omni Outliner on my iPhone, and I know I'm not alone in this, but I like to think that it's here because I kept begging Ken to make it.
I'm sure it is.
Yeah, and it's awesome because it does the syncing through Omni's own sync server, and I have all of my outlines on all my devices. And working with them on every device works exactly as it should. And it's fantastic on my iPhone. I just love having it there.
Is this brand new?
brand new.
Like today?
Yesterday.
Well, and it's an update, right?
Yeah. So yeah, that's the really great part about all this. If you already own Omni Outliner for the iPad, the update makes it universal, so you can just put it on your iPhone, no extra cost.
Neat.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm very excited about this too. I haven't had a chance to check it out yet, but I was looking very much forward to it.
You're going to like it a lot.
Yeah.
Very cool. And it is $30.
And totally worth it.
Worth every penny.
I really like that Omni charges realistic prices for their products.
Yeah.
And I wish more developers had
the balls.
Confidence to do that.
Yeah. Totally. I agree.
All right.
Oh, man. I keep forgetting that there's OmniFocus 2 for iPad now.
Yeah. It's beautiful.
And it's really nice.
It looks really nice. Wow. Yeah, I should. I bookmarked it on Appler. I think I probably bookmarked it and said notify on sale. It's never going to happen, though. Never going to. I don't
Spy
think
it, it's
ever
worth it.
Done it. Done it on sale. Well, yeah, we'll see. I don't often use OmniFocus on my iPad, so I guess so.
Interesting. I use it there a lot.
It's $30 on the iPad. It was $40 for version one on the iPad, so I guess there's a. They brought it down. They always give me free stuff. I should probably just buy it. Like a good boy. Okay.
Adam. Do they have the complete my bundle thing?
Yep, they totally do.
So that's one way you may be able to get a cheaper price in a way.
Interesting. I should look into that.
You have other products, then it discounts the items in the bundle.
Right, yeah.
Respectively, yeah.
Omni Outliner.
But don't do that now. I want to do my pick.
Yeah, what is it? 20, hang on. It was $40 for Omni Outliner? I know I just said. Whatever. I'll figure
30.
It out. Adam, what's your
I
pick?
Don't remember. 30. Bro,
it was OmniFocus 2 for the iPad, I thought, that you wanted.
No. Don't worry about it. Oh. What's your pick?
Anyway. All right. Quiet. I'm going to try and launch it and see if you can hear this.
Spinning the weather wheel.
Oh, my God.
This sunny day is a present just for you.
I know exactly what you're picking, and it's totally awesome.
So I think I picked it. I picked Carrot Fit, right? The fitness uh-huh. tracker from, you know, with the abusive Siri
mm-hmm.
that, you know, you have to do Mount Doom climbs and she calls you meatbag and is just nasty to you. So those guys just came out this week Ooh. With Carrot Weather. So you get the same carrot attitude along with your weather. And it's so cool. It's just visually cool. The engine behind it is Dark Sky.
Okay.
So, and I've been a Dark Sky fan for like forever. You know, that's the thing that predicts when you're going to get rain.
You do realize that every time I think about Dark Sky, I think about the time that I asked you if you use it, and you say, "Why would I use that? I live in San Diego where it never rains."
Yeah. Well, I switched. And I love it.
I think it's more important for places where you don't rain or it doesn't rain. It's more useful.
But wait, I haven't gotten to the best part about this.
Okay.
So it has 21 secret locations that you can unlock. And you unlock them by just checking the weather at different times in different locations, checking the weather in different cities. For example, if you check the weather in Cupertino, you unlock the Apple R&D lab location.
Forecasting. I think I spotted an Apple frozen yogurt machine in here somewhere.
So you can get, and so I've now unlocked that. I've unlocked Mount Doom, the Robo Apocalypse, and the Lars Homestead on Tatooine.
That's awesome.
They have the moon.
I know. I don't know how you unlock the moon. So I got to figure out how to unlock the moon.
I'm going to like buy this app just to get that. Because it shows like what the temperature is on the moon.
Yes.
Well, depending on the location, of course. 251 degrees feels like 251 degrees. And 0 mile per hour.
Anyway, it's awesome and fun. And it's just another one of my. Now I have three carrot apps. I have the calorie counter, the fitness counter, and what's cool is their app icon. I don't know if anybody's noticed this when you like it. They're all called Carrot.
Yeah.
But it's like Carrot superscript and then the number of the release of the app. So this is their fifth app, I think. So it's Carrot 5, but Carrot Wait, Weather.
What are you talking
about? It's $2.99.
What's the superscript thing you're talking about? I don't.
So if you, the name of the app when you have it on your device is always Carrot, and then like Carrot Fit, Fitness is Carrot 3.
Oh, okay. So it doesn't.
Carrot Calories is Carrot 4, Carrot Weather is Carrot 5.
I'm going to get this thing. It looks fun. Here comes the sun, dootin' doo-doo.
It's great.
It's beautiful. It's a beautiful sunny day. Ha ha, just kidding.
It makes you laugh every time you open it up. And
does it have...
apparently there's some way to see a Sharknado.
Okay. I hate most weather apps, but I might... I'll just give this a try.
It tells you the weather. I mean, let's be realistic about what it is.
Totally.
I mean, at the end of the day, it gives you weather. It'll do, you know, your weekly forecast, your hourly forecast, your, you know, soon forecast, and that's about it. But
I just got called a meatbag.
Yeah, and she'll call you meatbag.
Good. That's what I look for in a weather app. Okay, cool. So that's
so the other apps are To-Do and Alarm. They have Carrot To-Do and Carrot Alarm, which I've heard are also very awesome. But
Carrot Weather, which is $2.99. Very expensive for an app. I heard someone say that today. They're like, "Oh, I got to tell you about this app. It's really expensive though." And so I was bracing myself for something like $40. I'm like, "Yeah, it's $2.99."
And so you slapped them.
Yeah, I did.
And knocked the latte out of their hand. $7 for it.
$7 latte. Yeah, totally. Okay. So my pick this week is Stokard. And
Stokard.
You guys heard about this? It's a reward card app, and it's the app that I've been looking for, and I guess it's been out for like since last year. It's been out for a whole year. But it fills in all the cracks in the whole passbook thing where, yeah, you could have your loyalty cards in passbook, but you have to have an app, a companion app that wedges that in there. But what I really wanted was just something that'll take all my little barcodes and keep track of those. Right. So Stokard does that and it rocks. Even if, so like there's the Rockford Public Library, membership that I still have on my keychain, just because, like, not because I'm going there anytime soon, it's just because it separates my keys, but I wanted to use it to see if Stokard would work with it, and it totally does. So you just point your phone camera at whatever barcode, it'll scan it up, figure it out, and then you can say, like, I've got my BevMo in here, and it has a giant list of places, and it can give you It'll tell you about deals and stuff like that if you want. But it pretty much will just take care of anything. So as long as you go to a place where they have the little barcode scanners that will look at a screen, and I think at this point in the game, most places do. But I would recommend holding on to your cards until you've verified that it works. But all in all, it's pretty neat. So, and it brightens up your screen as soon as you click on the barcode so they can take a good picture of it. And you can even take pictures of the individual card. So if you run into a situation where, like, the clerk is like, that's not the card. I prove that you have that, you know, kind of thing. You can just show them a picture of the card if you want to take pictures of the card as well. So, and it's free, and it will have an Apple Watch companion app whenever they get that out there. And that's how I actually found this, because I was looking for Apple Watch apps. So
cool.
Stokard. And with that, of course, you can find our picks in the show notes at theiosshow.com and review the show on iTunes. We love that. Tell a friend about the show. That's cool too. Feedback at theiosshow.com is where you can ask us questions and send feedback and all that kind of stuff. And be sure to check out our sponsor this week, which is Lyndae, lynda.com/tios for a free 10-day trial. All the advertising is handled by Backbeat Media at backbeatmedia.com. So if you want to advertise, check those guys out. They're cool. And Jeff Gamet He's at the Mac Observer, MacObserver.com, at Jay Gamet on Twitter, and the TMO Daily Observations podcast.
And it's always awesome to be here.
It's always awesome to have you. And that's why we do it every time.
Hey, did I tell you that I'm going to be at a couple events soon?
You did. Tell us again.
Oh, okay, cool. ACES Conference, which is, and I'm totally doing this off the top of my head, May 20th and 21st, I think.
You're going to be talking about convertible notebooks?
Convertible notebooks, yeah.
Every time you say ACES, like
it sounds like ACES.
It's a card, right? Every time you say it, I think you say ASUS.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah,
too.
No, it's ACES like the card.
Yeah.
And yeah, so I'm giving the keynote
at the ASUS conference. That's weird, Jeff. I thought you were a Mac guy.
So weird. I know. Anyhow, New Orleans, Apple Consultants event, and it's going to be really cool. I get back from that. And then a couple days later, so it'll be like the 20, whatever Memorial Day weekend is. So it's like the 22nd or 23rd.
You haven't pulled it up by this point?
No, I'm just talking.
More importantly, when you're down on Bourbon Street, where are you going to be hanging out so everybody can come join you?
Oh, I'll have to let you know.
Follow the Twitters.
Yeah.
Jay Gamet.
May 20th through 21st.
Okay, there you go. So May 20th and 21st, ACES Conference. So that means it's the 23rd through the 25th for Denver Comic Con. And I'm going to be doing some of the on-stage celebrity interviews. So that'll be fun.
Neat.
So come to both. Have a drink with me.
Do it. He's fun to drink with. Yeah, and Adam Christensen, he is at the MacCast, MacCast.com, and at MacCast on Twitter. And anything else you want to talk about that your people should check out?
No, I mean, I'll mention again that Jeff and I are on a few shows over at the British Tech Network.
Oh, yeah.
At BritishTechNetwork.com. I do the Mac show every week. Jeff's on the Mac show occasionally. Jeff does the big show and I think the comic show. And so it's just another place to find both of us hanging out.
Fun. Yeah, come hang out with us.
And check out those shows. Subscribe. Some good stuff.
Yeah, for sure. And I'm at Michael Johnston on Twitter. I occasionally tweet, and I think there's another Michael Johnston who wants to steal my Twitter name, but I'm not going to let him do that.
Well, it's because you're the Michael Johnston.
Yeah, I joined in 2007, dude. What is this? 2014? 2015? Hello? So he was all like, hey, you should follow me because I have a private message for you. And I'm like, who is this guy? Oh, he's a guy who has my name and he's going to try and get it from me. That's not happening.
No, that's not happening.
Not happening. Sorry, dude. Tumblr.michaeljohnston.me. You can find my Tumblr and I'm on Appler, GETAPPLR.com/Michael. And I'm sure there will be some Apple Watch enabled apps soon that I'll be liking there as well. So with that,
hopefully.
Yeah. I'm sure there will be. I mean, OmniFocus already. Duh.
Yeah.
That's going to be awesome.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. So with that, we'll see you next time on the iOS show.
An iPod. An iPod. An iPod. An iPod. An iPod. A phone. A phone. We don't want to carry around a mouse, right? So what are we going to do? So what are we going to do? Oh, a stylus, right? We're going to use a stylus.